May God's grace, His peace, His abundant, rich mercy be yours in Christ Jesus, the risen one, the one we worship, that we gather around this holy day. Amen. Please pray with me as we consider further the Word of God. Lord, accomplish what you desire with your Word always when we gather around you. Do not let your Word return to you empty. Work faith in us, understanding, repentance. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let me begin with a very easy question to see if you've been paying attention at all in church today. Without looking, what is the Old Testament reading for today? Not a hard question. What is the Old Testament reading for today? And the answer is, very good, Hunzi. There's not one. I know we have it listed there, Old Testament reading. That was an error, mistake. But the first reading was from the book of Acts. And you'll note that in the Easter season, and the Easter season is from Easter to Pentecost, 7-week season here, we do not read from the Old Testament. Rather, we read always from the book of Acts, the mission of the early church. That is quite significant in the church, I think. You see, Easter's not a time to look back at the Old Testament. We can do that. The Old Testament's great. We can read it and study it. We're learning Old Testament prophecies on our Wednesday services, for that matter. That's okay. But since Christ died and rose now, the Old Testament is fulfilled. Christ has fulfilled the Old Testament. So rather than looking back, now we look out to the world that is dying. Who can I tell? And so we concentrate in that first reading on Acts, the mission of the early church. We got to get the message out. We don't really have time to look back to the Old Testament now. We got to get the message out that Christ died and rose. We got to get it out there. Is Easter a time of apathy for the church? Ho hum, he rose, I'm saved. Let's take a nap. Let's eat a few more old jelly beans. Or is Easter a time of action? The main act of the whole book of Acts is the proclamation of the gospel. Really, I suggest it shouldn't even be called the Acts of the Apostles. They do several acts, plural, but really it is it's the book of Act. It is one act, and that's proclaiming the good news of Jesus. And over again in the book of Acts, from Peter and Paul and other people, Stephen, we have proclamations of Jesus. There are about 20 sermons in the book of Acts in 28 chapters. One sermon after another about Jesus the risen one. That is the act of the church. That's our witness. We proclaim Jesus Christ who died and who rose for the salvation of the world. We can't do it enough. We can't tell enough people. Peter in Acts 3 here, which I read, is given a great opportunity. As I mentioned, Peter and John have just healed a lame man by the power of Christ in the temple. Remember last Sunday what Peter was doing, by the way? Last Sunday we read where Peter was behind closed doors, scared, locked doors, terrified. He had denied Christ 3 times, pathetic little Peter, weakling. And now we have this third Sunday Easter, Peter there in the temple. He's no longer afraid of the Jews. He's right among the Jews, open in public, and he's proclaiming Jesus. What's the difference? What changed Peter? Easter changed Peter. The power of the risen Christ and the gift of the Holy Spirit changed Peter. He's given a great opportunity here. As people run to him and John to figure out what happened, and Peter doesn't blow it this time. He doesn't deny. He's not weak. He testifies to Jesus. And I want you to consider this day how many opportunities you have to testify of Jesus. Maybe people don't come running to you. Tell me about Jesus. Probably does not happen that way, although sometimes it may. But you are around people every day, all sorts of people. And you know there's many opportunities for you to speak up as a Christian and tell someone about your Lord. May we make use of those opportunities. What am I to say, Pastor? What should I say about Jesus? What do I do? Peter gives us a good model here, a good example of what you say about Jesus. I want to be very practical. We are witnesses, all of us, to testify of Jesus in our lives. not just the pastor. I do it publicly in the church and offer the sacraments. But you in your own little life are a little Jesus to testify of Jesus. What am I supposed to say? Three things to break it all down. Make it real simple. You tell people the facts. You tell people the meaning of the facts, which is forgiveness. And you tell people the response to the facts, which is faith. We all got that? You speak about the facts, forgiveness, and faith. This breaks it down real simple. Get those three things in as you testify of Jesus. That's what Peter does. First of all, what does Peter do as these people are coming to him? What an opportunity. He tells them the facts. That's obvious. If you don't tell the facts of the gospel, you're not telling the gospel. You gotta tell people the facts. Don't assume people know the gospel. Don't assume they know who Jesus is and what he did. Don't assume that. They very well not know at all. So tell them the facts. We do it all over and over again in church, don't we? We review the facts. Peter, note he starts out deflecting attention from himself. Men of Israel, why do you wonder at this, that we did this miracle? Why do you stare at us as though by our own power or piety we have made this man walk? You see, the people are looking at Peter. Wow, Peter, you're great. John, you're great. Wow, how'd you do this? You're such a marvelous people. Peter says, get your eyes off of me. It's not about me. It's not about me at all. Why are you staring at me and John? It's about Jesus. Peter will not talk about himself. Too often, I think, in our lives, we talk about ourselves. And we bore people to death, don't we? We talk about ourselves, our job, our spouse, and kids, and this and that, and it's boring. Aren't you bored when someone talks over and over about themselves? It's like, let's get away. Talk about the real family member you have. His name is Jesus. Don't talk about yourself. Talk about Jesus. And notice how Peter said two basic, simple things. He talks about who Jesus is. Tell people who Jesus is. Don't assume they know. And Peter here uses at least four terms for Jesus, four titles. He calls him a servant. That implies he's a man, a servant. He calls him the holy and righteous one. That means he's God. That's important to tell people. He is God, the only true God, who became a man. All right, incarnation. You don't have to use that word. He's God who became a man. He's not just a teacher, a prophet, a good God. He's God who became a man, the holy and righteous one who became a servant. He calls him the author of life. That's resurrection language. He calls him the Christ, the one who fulfilled the Old Testament. He's king. All those are great terms. There's many others you can use. Tell people who Jesus is in a simple, straightforward, don't try to play mind games, no mystery. This is who he is. And then secondly, tell him what he did. And again, you don't have to talk about every miracle that he did and every verse he gave. You can, but make it simple sometimes, straightforward. He died. That's what Peter mentions. He was killed, he died, and he rose. Those are the facts, the basic facts. Who is he? The Son of God who became a man. What did he do? He died and he rose. How many of you can tell somebody that? I think we all can. If you were introducing me to a friend that didn't know who I was and didn't know what I did, well, how would I feel if you introduced me this way? You said, hey, friend, this is my friend Paul. Paul is from Indiana. Paul likes sports. Paul still thinks he's good at sports. Paul likes food. He likes all sorts of food. He'll tell you about it someday. Paul has a beautiful wife. Paul has four incredible children. All this is very, very true, of course. Paul is in a church of the most fantastic, loving people in the whole city of Knoxville, if not in the United States of the world. Loving, kind people that treat him kindly and lovingly. All this is true, isn't it? But what do you not tell them? That I'm your pastor. That I tell you the gospel. Baptize. Give you communion. All that is true. But in a way, you miss the main thing. This is my pastor who tells me the word of God. That's the basics. You can tell people all sorts of stuff about Jesus. And it can all be very, very true and has its place. But tell them the basics. He's the Son of God who became a man who died and rose. The basics. Then secondly, you tell them the meaning of the facts, which is the forgiveness of sins. This is not just something of history that happened 2,000 years ago, a nice little historical anecdote that happened to Jesus way back then. You tell them it means something today. It has power today. It changes life today. For there is forgiveness with God. There's reconciliation with God. And you, dear friend, can be forgiven of your sins, washed and clean, and go to heaven and have a joy and a peace beyond understanding. This is how it applies. Again, don't assume people know what it means when you tell them Jesus is God's Son who died and rose. Many people will think that forgiveness doesn't apply to them. They've done so many bad things, they're so evil, he'll never forgive me, I'm going to go to hell, it's pointless. Reassure such a guilt-ridden person, there's forgiveness even for you. Repent, there's forgiveness for murder, adultery, everything, you're forgiven. And then you have some people who think they're so good they don't need it. You know, everybody else needs forgiveness, but not me. I'm good enough by myself. And you need to tell them some law. No, you're a sinner. We're all sinners. You can't make it yourself. Tell them the meaning. Paul here, or rather Peter here, talks about the blotting out of sins. He uses that phrase, a beautiful sense, to have your sins blotted out. Kind of erased, we would say, with the blood of Christ. God just erased, blotted out sin. God doesn't see it. God doesn't remember it. God doesn't count it against you. Great way to explain forgiveness. God does not count your sins against you. He's reconciled. He's blotted them out. Peter uses the word refreshing. That times of refreshing may come. This is the meaning. You be refreshed. The idea is being washed. You're cleansed. You're washed. You talk about a shower. Oh, when we take a shower and we're clean, oh, we feel so refreshed. That's living in Christ. I'm refreshed, I'm forgiven, I'm washed, I'm clean, I'm reconciled, I feel so good now, at peace with God. And there's many other metaphors or terms for salvation the Bible gives us. Your debt's canceled. That would mean a lot to a friend. Hey, your debt is canceled with God. Jesus paid for it at the cross. Salvation is victory. We all want to be winners and victors in America here. We've won through Christ over sin, death, and hell. You're a winner. You're a victor. Believe in him. John in the epistle uses the portrayal of children. Because of Christ, we're children of God. We're in the family. People today want to know they're part of a family, a part of a community. You're part of God's family. Maybe your own family doesn't like you. No one likes you. God likes you. God loves you. Be baptized, you're his child. You're an heir of salvation. You know, what was the big news in Knoxville? Two items this past week. Early in the week, what was the big news? The mulch fire. All right, we smelled it here too. I smelled it last Sunday. The great mulch fire of Tennessee. Is it out finally? I don't know. Don't smell it anymore. And then later in the week, what was the big news? Pat Summitt retiring. We wish her well. We pray that God be with her. Big news. What will be the big news of this week? May the big news be a fire, but not a mulch fire. May it be a fire of mercy that flows from the hearts of First Lutheran members. Channel 6 and Channel 8 and Channel 10 probably won't cover this. May we be people that are on fire for our Lord, proclaiming the good news. Find someone to tell the good news to. We're on fire, may they say. Their church on fire for their Lord. May the big news be not that Pat Summitt passed on the whistle to Holly Warlick. The big news is that we pass on the wonders of God's love to a dying world. That's more important than any whistle. The wonders of the gospel we pass on. You know, if each one of us here were to tell one person every day about Jesus, anybody, child, family, friend, think of one person I can speak of Jesus to every day this week. That'd be seven times you do it. A couple hundred people. We would tell 1,400 people this week about Jesus. We did it for the whole year. What would that be, Pat? 52 times 1,400. I don't know. 70,000, something like that. That would be a quarter of Knoxville in a year that our little church would reach. Did it for 4 years. We'd reach the whole city and tell people about Jesus. Wow, planting seeds. God will make them grow. Tell people the meaning, which is forgiveness of sins. How people need to hear that. And then last of all, we must talk about the response to the gospel, which is faith. It's good to talk about faith. We lay out a challenge to people. It's all the Holy Spirit calling someone to faith. But we need to say it to people. Have faith in this. Peter talks about repentance. Peter always ends the sermon, repent. Paul always ends, repent now. You've heard about what God's done. The gospel's not just some idea to consider. We Americans love ideas to consider. We love information to access. The gospel's not an idea alongside all the other religious ideas to consider. No, it's not. The gospel's not a piece of information that I can set aside with all the other information I know. The gospel's the power of God to save. The gospel is the truth. And there needs to be a response, not just, I agree with that, it's okay. The response is, repent, friend. Have faith, friend. Turn to God now. Come into a church. Challenge the person. Through that, the Holy Spirit's grabbing that person to bring him in. Jesus begins his ministry. Repent. The kingdom of heaven is here. Jesus called on people, come follow me. He didn't say, come consider a nice idea I have. He said, come follow me. Give up your nets and come follow. Do it right now. The call of faith. We say in the book of Acts, you have three types of teaching. I'll throw out some Greek words here for you. The first type is called kerygma. It's the facts of what happened. The second type is called didache. It is the meaning of the facts. It's that you're forgiven. This is what it means now. The third is called paraklesis, which is the exhortation of the pastor or the person exhorting the person, now repent of your sins, friend. Come to church. Be baptized. Be saved. Believe. Stop dying and believe. And this also we must do. To lay it out to people. This is heaven and hell. How are you going to respond? What are you going to do with this Jesus? Make sure you do that too. And lay it on their heart. The Holy Spirit will work. Will it be Easter apathy or Easter action for you and for I? I saw the cartoon for Garfield a few days ago. You all know who Garfield is, the big fat cat. And Garfield in the first box is laying on his back like usual, sleeping. In the second box, his owner looks at him and says, still breathing. In the third box, he's still lying there on his back, Garfield. Every box, he's lying on his back. In the third box, he says to himself, I try to stay busy. Breathing is staying busy. I'll lie on my back and stay busy. That's Garfield. And this often is a picture of the church. I come and I can rest now. Jesus did everything for me. I can just rest and be refreshed and that's it. Ho-hum. There is a time of refreshment. It's called church. To gather around the Word, to receive communion, this great breakfast of forgiveness here, to be refreshed by the love and mercy of God. We all need that. Then there's a time to get up and get to work. There's a dying world all over us. 3 out of 4 people approximately don't know Jesus and are going to go to hell. And there's many right around us. He is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. I will rise. I will rise indeed, hallelujah. Which means I'm not merely going to rise from the dead and go to glory. It means I'm going to rise from my pew today and go tell somebody about Jesus. Who will go and work today? Here am I. Send me. Send me. Amen.